Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, last week I loved going through Jonathan Sarfati's editorial from the recent Creation magazine, and today we're going to conclude that discussion.
Yeah, it's a great editorial. But first, I wanted to ask you about this banquet you went to last Friday, that cancer banquet.
Yes.
I think it was a fundraiser
for
a little girl in Boulder.
Yes, Fred, it was stunning. Doug McBurney, my Monday co-host, you're the Friday co-host, and Doug is on Bob Enyart Live every Monday for many, many years. He and I went up there, and Fred, we've been talking about targeted antibodies on the show. This is one of the few places you could go to get your regular update on the cancer treatment revolution using your own immune system.
Yeah, we seem to be the only show really pushing this. And we're not sensationalists, but this is really interesting and compelling stuff that's going on with this targeted antibodies.
Well, Fred, I want to give you the scan of this girl. I'll show you the scans from before her treatment and then 3 weeks later.
Okay.
But first, let me tell you what happened. She's been struggling with this bizarre cancer from when she was 3 years old. They thought it was ovarian cancer. It's ovarian cancer, but it has all the features of mesothelioma. It's a bizarre combination of cancers. And so they would do chemotherapy, which is a kind of poison.
Yeah.
They do radiation. They do all these things. And then she'd get better. They'd go in surgically. They'd spend hours in her abdomen removing every bit of tumor they could find.
Wow.
Cancerous cells.
Yeah.
And this went on for 9 years, about eight and some years. And then the cancer, a tumor, appeared between her abdomen and her diaphragm for her lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So this was scary. It's now headed toward a different part of her body.
Yep.
So then, in her right lung, as she's getting treatments and scans, the cancer's in her right lung and three ribs. This is horrific.
Yes.
So a 12-year-old girl, she's lost. She can't play with her friends. She has no energy. They're scheduled an operation to remove little Zeta's right lung and three ribs. They do a scan just before the operation, a final scan. The tumor's in her left lung.
So it's really metastasized.
It's
everywhere.
Everywhere through her upper abdomen. It's horrific.
Wow.
So they said, we cannot operate. We're so sorry. There's nothing left we can do. So meanwhile, on another track, there's a company up in Boulder named Archer DX. They're a targeted antibodies company.
Mm-hmm.
And they, because their director of marketing, his kid knew Zeta. They were like in preschool together, something like that.
Okay.
And so he contacted the mom via Facebook and said, you know, I don't know if we could help, but we can help if we get the opportunity. So they started to work this other track. Can they get targeted antibodies for her very unique cancer? And to do it, there's this major institute in New York City, a specialist oncologist there, works with the FDA, and does the whole study plan an application to the FDA for a cancer treatment study for one patient?
For one patient.
For this little
girl. Okay.
That is unprecedented.
Yeah, absolutely.
The FDA approves it. They fly her to New York City. She gets her first treatment. And within 24 hours, there's remarkable improvement. Like she's regaining her energy.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to show you now. Here on my computer screen, I'll turn it to you. I'm going to show you the scan before and after of little Zeta. This is her body. The black are the tumors.
Wow.
Is that
wow. So, yeah, the top picture I'm looking at is just a lot of black stuff in her body, her
whole
entire chest
right
cavity.
Part. Yes.
Most of it on the
chest
right
cavity,
side, but
right
a
down
lot on the left side.
Her abdomen, her left. So the right
is side
worse.
Is almost completely dark.
Right. It's tumors everywhere on her whole right side from like her shoulders down to her waist. And the left side
is about as half as bad, but really bad.
50% tumors.
Yeah, I mean, that looks horrible. I mean, there's
horrific.
You see that, and they say that's cancer. That's wow. There's no way you survive that.
This is so far advanced for a cancer patient. And her father, while he should be looking out the window, seeing his daughter playing this summer, like in August, September, he was looking for which hospice to enter her
into. I remember that's where we left it last week. You had mentioned to me that they were looking for a hospice, but then they did this treatment.
And then the second scan is after 3 weeks. Now, this is all during November, so now it's December, and the treatment has gone on. But here's a scan after 3 weeks. How do the tumors look?
It's real incredible. It's really cool. I mean, so on the right side, there's pretty much nothing there. I mean, it's gone.
Tumors are gone.
They're gone. I mean, there's a little black, dark, very small dark mark. And then on the right side,
there's still a little bit.
A little bit, but not that much.
Not dark, not solid black.
Yeah, not solid black.
And a couple little bits of solid black. But relatively, I'd say the tumors, based on the scan, the tumors are gone by like 95%.
I was going to say, 90 to 95% is what visually looking at this.
Right. And you know, thanks to one of the friends of Real Science Radio, even this is possible.
Demedian.
Yeah, Raymond Demedian, the inventor of the MRI, who we'd interviewed now a couple times.
Yep.
Thanks to
a
Raymond.
Creation scientist.
Yes, young earth creationist, Christian. Millions of people's lives have been improved, even saved because of the MRI. And he is
he's the inventor
creationist.
Of it.
And isn't it funny? The atheists say without Darwinism, science is dead.
Yeah.
Medicine is dead.
It hasn't done anything for science.
What a joke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. They're using a treatment where they're using God's design, you know, antibodies to fight these cancers. It's impressive.
So
it really is.
We will continue to report on this. The studies are phenomenal. We have a handy list of links to the results of some of the studies.
And what's the webpage?
It is rsr.org/targeted antibodies.
Targeted-antibodies.
Yeah. And they usually call it targeted therapy when you're reading news articles.
But you've got the picture on that website. You just showed it to me.
The scan
is
right there.
So people can go there. You ought to go. The audience really needs to go check that out. It's real encouraging. Yeah. It really is.
And Zeta's mom, we met her mom, Nicole. In fact, we met grandma and the CEO of Archer DX. It started with, you know, a handful of employees just in 2013. It's up to 150 employees. They work with Genentech, which is the big pharmaceutical that actually then implements the targeted antibody that they identify. So their CEO, their director of marketing, some of their PhD molecular biologists.
Did you talk to some of the scientists?
Oh, at length, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we had a wonderful
what
dinner.
What did they say? I mean, did you get any
elaboration? By the way, this was at the St. Julian Hotel and Spa in Boulder. Just
okay.
a gorgeous place.
Yeah.
The food was fabulous. And so Doug and I were sitting right at a table with a bunch of scientists and folks from Archer DX. And it's Archer, like an archer aims at the target. So it's targeted antibodies.
Okay.
And what a fascinating conversation we had with this one gal, Lauren, molecular biologist, who just had a wonderful time sharing just the excitement about this development. This is a revolution in cancer treatment. Fred, for skin cancers, kidney, bladder, neck cancers, there are so many cancers like melanomas where this stuff is working.
Yeah.
This is just stunning. And decades ago, they thought about using the immune system, but because of the evolutionary bias that our body is just kludged together by a myriad of mistakes, mutations, they figure, oh, the immune system isn't all that good. It's not going to be able to do much.
Oh, my goodness.
And they went to radiation and chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Imagine if we would have focused on this for the last quarter of a century.
Yeah. Amazing. It's too bad.
Probably millions
of
people. The
lack of science we've gotten out of evolution.
Yes.
It's slowed down.
Darwinism is a science stopper.
Yeah. And you waste money studying such a silly idea that random mistakes and blind selection could create life.
Right.
You waste all your time on that.
Right.
It's like wasting time trying to find aliens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. SETI. What a waste.
Search for intelligence.
Yeah. In fact, search
for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yes. In fact, this Creation Magazine, where Dr. Jonathan Sarfati did the editorial, At the end of this issue, Fred, they have such a fun article on the Fermi paradox. Enrico Fermi, physicist, saying, where are the aliens? Because, you know, we've been advancing in civilization for the last 5,000 years or so. Well, he said, and he believed in the Big Bang and the old universe and evolution. He said, okay, let's give a species on another planet somewhere in the galaxy or out there, give them 1 million years to advance. And surely they would be doing star travel. And if it took them 1 million years, they sent out ships to colonize space. And if it took those ships 1 million years to get somewhere and develop, and then another 1 million years to send out another ship. So now you have the original one and the second one. So then 1 million years later, now they both send out new ships to colonize again. Mm-hmm. So now you got four going out there. Then 1 million years again, you got eight, and then 16. He said, now by now there should be trillions of alien species tripping over one another on every planet in the universe. We should be getting radio waves from every direction. Everybody should be a traffic jam out
there. They're all cloaked. They're all using their cloaking device so we don't see them.
Exactly. And so here's SETI. For decades, they've been looking, scanning the heavens.
Well, you remember, you know how SETI, they're looking for a signal from space. And if they get one, like some silly Hollywood movie did, you know, where they get prime numbers and they say, oh, that must be intelligence.
Yeah, intelligence.
Just simply
design.
Prime numbers, you know?
Right.
And let alone something, you know, incredibly complex like the eye or the, you know, our trochlear challenge.
Monarch
they
butterfly.
They simply get prime numbers and that's intelligence.
Yeah, they would know it has to be intelligent design. So, Fred, that SETI, S-E-T-I, you mentioned, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They've been doing this since 1995. Now, they started decades earlier searching the sky, like in the 70s, for signs of alien life.
Yep.
But since 1995, intensely, they've been scanning the universe at a rate of millions of radio frequencies every second now for decades, Fred. And you go back, it's been a half a century since the early efforts.
Yeah.
And so far, in all that time, how many extraterrestrials have they caught phoning home? Zero.
The big zero.
None. Not
and you
one.
Know, if they would just listen to Stephen Hawking, we shouldn't be doing it because we might attract them and they'll kill us.
Yeah, he said, if you're in the park and you see an alien, don't talk to him. He's probably going to be mean.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking has lost his mind.
Oh, he has.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Fred, we're nearing Christmas.
We are. And one of our favorite shows next week.
The Star of Bethlehem.
Star of Bethlehem.
Yes.
You got to tune in and listen to that.
Oh.
If you can't tune in next Friday, it'll be on our podcast. It'll be on the website.
It will be. And it's just awesome.
It really is cool.
Because the Star of Bethlehem, what is it that the Magi saw in the east?
Yeah.
And they headed out to Ephrathah, where the prophet said that the Eternal One would come from
is
Bethlehem.
It like in the movies where it's this big star that they follow?
Well, you'll have to wait and see.
A little teaser.
Right? It's going to be fun. Oh, and one last thing, Fred, before we get to Dr. Sarfati's editorial, you and I mentioned the latest study with marijuana users, restricted blood flow in the brain.
Yeah.
In the dementia
region. Just
the
latest in bad things about marijuana.
The memory region. 1,000 U.S. pot smokers, all of them had reduced blood flow throughout their brain, especially in that one region.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a dad in South Carolina tuning in, heard that show, gathered his wife, teenage daughter, and they watched the Real Science Radio video on the negative effects of marijuana. It's easy to find. It's at rsr.org/pot.
Wow. Okay.
How easy is that? Yeah. rsr.org/pot. He then called and talked to our office staff, said they were stunned by how much information, how important it is. The daughter is going to share it with her friends. And the dad said, hey, guys, that's just the tip of the iceberg for what's on this Real Science Radio website. There is so much great stuff. So hopefully.
Oh, that's cool. So that's a listener from South Carolina.
Yeah, really fun.
Didn't you also get a call from Alabama about the video from last week's show?
Oh, yeah. When we played the soundtrack from Creation Ministries International. It's a 2-minute YouTube video talking to college students who had attended church. And do you believe in creation or evolution? And were you trained in church?
Yeah.
And it turns out that all the college students who were not trained in church, they all believe in evolution and they've all left the church. Yep. And the ones who believe in creation and were trained in church, they still go to church to worship the Lord.
That's right. Which plays into the article that we're wrapping up with Jonathan Sarfati, that what happens yes. when you capitulate on yeah. the first book of the Bible, Genesis, on creation.
So, and that's the title of his editorial, is Causeless Capitulation on Creation. So, Fred, I think we could just continue where we left off.
So he goes on to say, when we capitulate on creation, mm-hmm. we're basically capitulating on moral issues. You know, yeah. How much have we seen yeah. that, especially lately?
Because when we left off the show last week, he had mentioned abortion, which he called baby butchery, which is true. Planned yeah. Parenthood dismembers children.
Yep.
If you did that to a living insect, liberals would be angry.
Oh, yeah.
If you dismembered a fetal pig, they would fly into a rage.
Yeah. Yep.
And here we are, dismembering babies, and people celebrate it. And so, of course, evolution plays into that because people think we're basically animals.
Yeah, we're just animals. So
nothing special. Yeah. You kill a little baby who's made in God's image. Millions of people think it doesn't matter. So he mentioned homosexuality. And then Dr. Sarfati adds, Jesus affirmed that God decreed marriage as between a man and a woman. That's in Matthew chapter 19.
Yeah.
And
in the beginning, he made them male and female.
Yeah, that's what Jesus said, yeah. quoting Genesis chapter 1.
Sounds like Jesus was a young earth creationist.
Jesus.
He was. He is.
Jesus.
Not was, is.
He is a young earth creationist because he's the creator. He knows when he made the earth.
Yeah.
And he didn't say that Adam and Eve were made billions of years after the universe was created yeah. or after the earth was made. But he said Adam and Eve were made at the beginning. So the earth and the solar system, the universe, it's all called the creation. That's what we call it. So the creation is the act of the creating, mm-hmm. but also the creation is what was made. Jesus said that they were made male and female from the beginning of the creation. That is in the first week, not at the very end
yeah.
of 14 billion years.
Yeah, after millions and millions of years of death, yes. disease, and suffering.
Right. So Sarfati goes on to write, sad to say, there are some in the church who are bold only when attacking people for taking a biblical stand on creation and morality.
Yeah, how true is that? And I just read on Facebook today, matter of fact, about a pastor for the Evangelical Lutheran Church, mm-hmm. ECLA. Mm. And she was angry at people who oppose abortion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just bitter
right.
anger
yes.
and writing a scathing article about how bad it is
now,
to oppose abortion and how she's so proud of the people donating to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and this is in a Christian publication.
Yes.
Ostensibly.
Yes. And it's a pastor,
yeah,
again, of
right.
an ECLA church.
So, Fred, where a lot of that is coming from, I think if we psychoanalyze her, it's mm-hmm. coming from two places. One is after 50 million surgical abortions in America, more than that. Hmm. There is tremendous repressed guilt. And so when someone criticizes a behavior that you yourself have engaged in, you will be defensive, you might be angry, if you have not repented.
Wow.
If you've not asked yeah. God to forgive you, if you've not become a Christian and received his forgiveness. So that anger, we see that often.
And that's the second, interesting, and I don't know if this really plays into it. You know, ex-smokers are so angry at smokers.
Yeah, right? That's a very interesting observation. Yeah. Years ago, our church, Denver Bible Church, we protest at the abortion mill. Every day since we've been a church that the abortion mill's mm-hmm. open, we've had over 1,000 babies saved so far at this one Planned Parenthood abortion
yeah,
mill.
And thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Denver Bible Church has a focused ministry mm-hmm. saving babies, and then often we get to save the moms and the dads.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
you share the gospel with them. People say, shouldn't you be sharing the gospel? It's like, shouldn't you let those Jews be killed at Auschwitz? Why are you intervening?
Yeah,
it's like,
wow.
Haven't you read the gospels? Jesus said, this is what it means to love your neighbor,
mm-hmm.
not just let them die. So at any rate, you do both.
Yeah.
You try to save the innocent. And as you're doing it, you affirm the God of creation.
Yes.
So, Fred, we were at another protest at the home of one of our pro-abortion representatives, Diana DeGette.
Yeah. She's been in Congress forever.
Yeah. And she took Patty Schroeder's seat.
Yeah.
Remember
lady
her?
Who tried to kick you off the air.
Yeah, that's right.
She succeeded for one day, right?
Yeah, right. And then we came back on. That was fun. But anyway, we're at Diana DeGette's home protesting. And this woman, a local woman and neighbor, we see her from almost a block away coming toward us, angry, strutting, walking fast, mad. And we know she's going to really read us the riot act. So I asked the group, I said, when she's just about to open her mouth and say something, like wait as long as possible. And then let's all say together, but not loud, don't yell it. Let's almost like it's a whisper from a whole group. There were 20 some of us. Let's say, how old was your baby when you killed it?
Wow. Wow.
She is coming down the street. She gets right across the street from Diana DeGette's house. She's halfway across the street to us. We're all standing right there on the curb. And our whole group says, all in unison, how old was your baby when you killed it?
Wow.
She stopped in her tracks. Her shoulders slumped. She turned around and walked away.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very
powerful. You've never told me that story before.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had the head of the Denver Humane Society in this studio years ago, Robin Duxbury. And I asked her, Robin, would it be wrong to kill a fetal pig? Maybe some medical experiment or whatever? And she's like, yes, of course, it'd be immoral. I said, how about abortion? What do you think about abortion? She said, oh, I'm pro-choice.
Yeah.
So I said, Robin, why would you support killing a little boy or a girl, but you're against killing an unborn pig? And she said, well, I've never thought of that before. And I asked her, I said, if you have killed one of your own children, wouldn't that explain your position?
Wow.
And your hypocrisy?
Hmm.
And that was a devastating moment also.
Did she admit?
She didn't admit, but she didn't deny it.
But you could tell on her based on her reaction.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Similar to
so a lot of repressed guilt is why this is happening. Because there is it's a strange anger for this topic.
Yes. And Dr. Sarfati's point here is that these Christians or people who go to church, they only get bold when they're criticizing Christians who take a stand against baby killing. He says they get more mad at calling abortion baby killing than they do at killing the baby.
Wow.
And they get more angry at Christians who say God made us than all the filth and wickedness in the world.
Yep.
That is telling.
And these are professing Christians.
Yeah, that's a tell right there.
Mm-hmm. And so Sarfati goes on to say that this capitulation often repels people from the gospel. And we have lots of examples.
Mm.
One Christian said that he had for many years refused to consider Christianity because, quote, for a long time, I would never consider converting because I thought you had to be weak and passive in order to be a Christian. And it reminds me of a great article of yours that I read many years ago.
It's
Survived the Test of Time, Nicer Than God. It's a great, great, great article.
Yeah. Thank
There's
you
even a video on that, right? That you did a TV show on it.
We did a TV show on it, and then we made a seminar. So we have an audio, an MP3 CD or download.
Because I'm positive I saw that on TV the first time.
Yes.
It's great.
It's called Nicer Than God.
Yep.
It is so much fun. It's a Bible study, and it shocks people. You know,
I'd say 90% of Christians are nicer than God, if I had to take a stab at it.
Yeah.
Most Christians I know are nicer than God. I just saw another comment on the internet from a friend of mine that's pretty much God loves all people, but he just hates the sin.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's like hate the gin, love the dinner, you know? There's all these bogus, false teachings.
They're Christian cliches.
That are ubiquitous, that you cannot challenge. You'll be kicked out of a Christian fellowship. You could tolerate homosexuality, child killing, socialism, but if you say that all sins are not equal and you quote Jesus saying that, they'll be angry at you. If you say God commanded us to judge rightly, they'll be angry at you.
Yeah.
So,
that's sad but true.
Yeah, we have that at our website, rsr.org/nicer than God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very
great article.
Very important. You know that satirical newspaper on college campuses? It's vulgar, so I don't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Onion.
I remember that. Yeah.
It's been around forever.
Yes.
Well, now there's a Christian one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The Babylon Bee.
Yeah, that's great.
It is so funny. And
great
the
idea.
Humor comes right out of the Nicer Than God seminar. I mean, it's all right in line with our show that we've been on the air for 25 years, 5 days a week. So I don't know that there's any connection between the writers of the Babylon Bee, but we're cousins in the Lord. It's really fun. So Sarfati goes on to say that there probably has never been a better time to be bold about biblical creation.
Yeah, and our show is a testimony to that. You know, we're reaching a lot of people. There's a lot more information now than there was, say, 30 years ago, say 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We're making a lot of progress, and it is. It's a great time. To be bold. Even the evolutionists, you know, they had this meeting at the Royal Society in England. They're starting to think about another way to present Darwinism because what they have now is not working.
Wow. Yeah, that was a very important meeting. And it was similar to one that the mathematicians had in Philadelphia back about
the
50 years ago. Wistar Institute conference. And so this is at the Royal Academy of Sciences, and it's by secular evolutionists who say that Darwinism has been proved to be false.
Yeah. Yep.
It does not explain the diversity of life. So, Fred, by the way, on Tuesday, we took a call on Bob Inert Live from a listener in Eagle, Colorado. You know where Eagle is? Out west in the mountains, right near Vail. It's so beautiful out there. His name is Paul. And he told me after we got off the air, we continued to talk. He goes to the local public school teachers, and he shares with them different Real Science Radio shows.
Wow.
And he says, you've got to listen to this show on this topic, whether it's dinosaur soft tissue is one that he shares often and others. So it is thrilling to hear from the people. Over the years, there have been literally thousands of people who've thanked us for presenting this scientific information that affirms the Bible as God's word.
That's right. In Creation Magazine, which we're covering right now, we're reading an article from Jonathan Sarfati out of this magazine. He mentions that this magazine has now been in circulation for 40 years, and it's in over 100 countries.
Yeah.
And, you know, we highly encourage you, if you don't get Creation Magazine, you need to get it. It's it's a very well done. It's our favorite magazine.
Yeah.
There's different Creation magazines out there.
Yeah, this one's the best.
And it's easy to remember, creation.com, Creation Magazine.
Creation.com/magazine will get you right there. You can subscribe and get a subscription for one of your kids or your grandkids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Highly encourage it.
Yeah. Sarfati goes on to say this. Many people are afraid of defending Genesis creation because they think evolution has been proven. In reality, natural selection has been proven, but it is part of biblical creation and the fall. It is a culling force, not a creative force, as has been shown with bedbugs.
Yeah.
So they have a great article in here on bedbugs. But yeah, natural selection, just the term itself should tell people it selects what is there.
It selects what is there. It doesn't create new information. It can only pull, you know, what it has in front of it.
Yeah.
So the ones that had a thicker skin survived a certain pesticide.
Right.
And so they're alive. The other ones that had the thinner skin died out, which means you've lost that information. Now, I say that tongue in cheek because they didn't really lose that gene. It's amazing how you think something's lost in your genome and it's suppressed. It often comes back later in generations. It's amazing.
Yeah, it shocks
scientists. You know, it's one of those amazing, totally unsurprised, surprising.
The robustness of the genome of a million organisms.
Yep.
Yeah, because of how God created us. And by the way, you remember who discovered the theory of natural selection? You remember who did that?
Yeah, Wallace.
That's right. I thought you were going to say Charles Darwin.
No, I knew it wasn't him.
But Wallace, if you go to rsr.org/Wallace, you'll find out that Alfred Russel Wallace is the co-discoverer, acknowledged by all science historians, that he co-discovered natural selection. In fact, he sent his writing to Charles Darwin.
He's actually probably the first to publish it, Wallace, but I'm sure people thought of it long before him because it's common sense.
It's common sense.
It really is.
Right. But then what he did was he said, no, this is a culling force. This is not a creative force. So the world doesn't remember Alfred Russel Wallace, who wrote this first.
Yep.
It remembers Charles Darwin because he became an atheist.
Yeah. And natural selection leading to evolution, that's a theory in crisis, too, among these same evolutionists. It's one of the mechanisms that they are questioning.
Mm-hmm. So, Fred, thank you so much for going through this editorial. In fact, you're the one who said, Bob, we usually skip the editorial. We've got to do it because Sarfati is right on these points.
Yeah, absolutely. It's real important. You know, if you don't believe the first book of the Bible, why would you then be expected to believe the resurrection and all the other very important historical events in the Bible?
Yeah.
We can trust the very first book, and there's tons of evidence for it. as we've shown over many years on Real Science Radio.
Yeah.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel. It really is.
It is so fun. It's so fun. And to me, when you're in awe of God's creation, it's worship similar to being in church and there's a worship leader and you're singing God's praises. It's the same thing.
Absolutely, it is.
When you're watching, we are putting out a video. Fred, do you remember the show we did 8 years ago on the butterfly and the caterpillar? Caterpillar kills atheism. How it's an extinction level event when it liquefies itself. Well, we're turning that into a YouTube video about 20 minutes long.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And I know it's going through some really good edits. And it's going to be impressive.
Yeah, and one of the major publishers of science and nature documentaries has given us permission to use a significant amount of their footage. And so we are thrilled about that because now not only is it fun, it's hysterical, really.
Yeah.
It's an evolution killer. But it also looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So we'll be publishing that real soon.
That's pretty soon, yeah.
On our YouTube channel, just go to rsr.org and click on YouTube. You'll find our science playlist.
Yeah.
And you'll help us. Our next goal is to hit 1,000 subscribers and reach 250,000 views.
Yeah. And or you can go to youtube.com and type in rsr.org in the search. I'm sure it'll bring up the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Subscribe to it.
All right. Fred, thank you again.
Thank
for
you, Bob.
Great show.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you and your family and Sandy and your kids. And this is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Science Radio, keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.